Just actually talking about Drew Brees, and not that, okay, like the statements were ignorant, and the lack of understanding and awareness is perplexing, but it seems like he has reached out to a lot of his teammates. A lot of his teammates are ready to move on, but it feels pretty likely that when the NFL returns, that there's going to be a lot of players who take a knee. And what do you think the reaction is going to be like right now if white quarterbacks, especially Drew Brees, don't participate in solidarity with African American teammates?
Well, I think everybody has the right to do what they want. That's what the free country's about. Although it's not always free for blacks. But at the same time, I think, we was all upset with Drew initially because we felt like Drew wasn't sensitive, but he apologized within like 16 hours. I don't know what more can you ask for. Maybe you want an apology in 10 hours. Maybe you want to rewind the time back and then tell Drew Brees, don't say this right before you say it. People make mistakes. Like, I don't know what the, if we keep trying to act like humans don't make mistakes, we're going to be continuing to fight. All right, we're going to continue to fight, and we're going to continue to be upset. People make mistakes. We protest. We get over it. This planet's been around for billions of years. Humans have been around billions of years. So, we can't act like humans never made mistakes. But the
Hey,
main thing that you kind of understand, yeah. You said
no.
what?
I was
Yeah.
just gonna
Well, the
say
main
that
thing,
I agree with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah, I just yesterday I spent a little bit of time talking about this. Just the idea that yeah, people are going to make mistakes. We have to let people come back from them. But also the point of making a mistake is not just to say sorry sometimes. It's also to back it up with action. And this is what I find curious about this situation in general is that, okay, you say you're sorry, you say you understand. Okay, so good. So it's great that people will take you at face value and that they will forgive you and they will give you a chance for redemption because none of us are perfect. None of us say things that we don't regret. And all of us would love to have do-overs on things we've said or that we've done. That's the whole point of society that, yeah, you let people come back. And we lose that sometimes with internet culture and with canceling people and outrage culture in general. That, yes, of course, Drew Brees has a chance to come back. I'm just curious to see how he ends up doing it with action because I do feel like if he doesn't, it kind of disproves the apology to begin with. That really an apology to me is how do you change your behavior, not whether or not you can say sorry, because saying sorry is very simple.
Well, I think Drew Brees is human. And let's assume Drew Brees is super pro-American. That's like asking, a super pro-Muslim not to believe in Allah. If you believe in certain values of America and that's been instilled in you, how can you expect someone to not fight for that? The same way we fight for what we believe in, right? So that's more of a small thing to me. The big thing is probably recognizing brutality and inequality. Just continuing to recognize that and continuing to create action to have more inclusion and to give people more opportunities and to continue to speak about what's happening. That's going to be more important to me than anything else. Quite honestly, it's too many distractions out there, and we gotta stay focused on the objective. The objective is to educate people on racism, right? That's the main objective, and as long as people are doing that, that's perfect. But we can't expect, someone to change, overnight. That's asking too much.
Emeto, we saw the photos of you at the demonstrations in Los Angeles a couple of days ago, and like here in Toronto, we've all been watching this play out on TV from a few thousand miles away. But when you watch something on TV, you get a very selective showcase of it, right? And a very selective look into it, and you don't necessarily understand what's actually happening. So I want to hear your first person experience. I mean, what did you experience at the demonstrations? What did you see, and what did you take away from them?
Yes. So I thought it was very powerful. I mean, I was very happy. There were so many different ethnicities there. And not to say I'm not happy with my ethnicity, but it was every ethnicity was there. And when you see that, I was telling people this was bound to happen because this is different from, the 60s or 40s. Now people want to keep it like that. I 100% believe people want to keep it like it was way back when we were slaves and stuff. And I think people want to get back to that. But, when you saw the melting pot, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And, I don't know. I think that was going to happen on a positive note. That gathering happened on a negative note. I think that was going to happen anyway. And I feel like people could sense when people are happy. And when you're happy, they're saying, okay, look, these people are actually happy. They're collaborating together. They're playing sports together. They're having babies together. They're going to dinner together. All these different ethnicities. We got to muck it up. And we got to understand, we was at a point in time with COVID where the world came together. We were trying to protect older people. It don't matter the ethnicity or race or skin color. We said, let's make sure we stay indoors so older people don't get sick. That was powerful. That was super powerful. And that shows you where we're at. So by a couple instances, a couple problems that they have, and they show it on TV, then the majority of the people say, we're divided. We're divided. And that's not the case. You can't be fooled by the media. You gotta make sure you stay the course.
Well, it's not as easy to translate online with just positive images of people marching. Just like it's not as
Of
easy
course.
to, and I'm glad that you brought up COVID because it's another example of the same thing where for the most part, people are showing solidarity, right? But what did you see on the internet when this was happening? They love to show you an image of one beach in America, right? Of one beach in Florida and have
Right.
people get super upset about that. We had the same thing in Toronto. They opened up public parks, and one of the parks got really filled with young people one day, and it was outrage from around the city of Toronto, and not an acknowledgement that for the most part, for the vast majority, that what is happening is people are buying in for other people. That we have seen over the last couple of months that there is an overwhelming number of people that care about their fellow human. That they will be willing to sacrifice things in order to ensure safety of others. And I think that you're seeing this a lot right now with the protests in the United States and the protests that have happened up here in Toronto, because we see the same injustice in our city as we see in many cities in the United States, across the United States. And we have not had the same level of protests here. Ours have just strictly been, there have not been cases of violence. But I think you're right in the sense of it is overall inspiring to see the amount of people that have come together and have tried to, elevate the discourse and have had to try and make some level of attempt of showing that we care about other people and to try to be allies to other people's causes. And it is inspiring to hear you say that. And it is inspiring to hear that, that is the experience of people that are on the ground.
Right, and I mean, when you look at the reality of the situation, it is a bad situation. I mean, when the officer had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck, and he was just really relaxed with killing him, that was just like how you kill an animal, actually. And we shouldn't be killing animals, but that's how that looked. That you got to understand what triggered the protests. And I mean, this triggered everybody, right? So now when you got the trigger points, you could push people buttons, and we got to be aware of people, we got to be aware of people pushing our buttons, right? We got to be aware of people pushing our buttons. That's why you got to continue to fight hard. You got to fight hard. You got to run for office. You got to run for president. You got to run for governor. You got to do all these things, because if we don't, then we're going to keep giving people power. They're going to keep pushing buttons, and you're going to keep seeing these protests. So, I mean, I thought it was a great job with everybody, coming together.
And I think that you're right in saying that it's important to stay on message, that it's important not to have things watered down for other things to come up, that ultimately, yes, this is about systemic racism and the criminal justice system's basically state-sanctioned murdering of African Americans. And we know that the NBA is a league where its star players especially and its athletes have been speaking out for a really long time on this issue. I mentioned that, you know, Eric Garner is years ago, that it's 4 years now since LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul stood on the stage at the ESPYs and talked about police brutality in the States. But for a really long time that there has been a lot of silence from leagues themselves, sports leagues themselves, and ownership dollars. And that been trying to really talk about allies and partners over the last couple of days and what the implications of those groups are. But do you think that there is going to be more pressure now on ownership groups and on sports leagues to actually try and fund or influence African American causes?
I mean, I think the objective is not just African American causes. I'm African American. The objective is to include, because once you get to only doing African American causes, then you're going to have an imbalance somewhere else, right? We need to just start including and have less pushback on diversity. Your diversity is what's going to get us further. Or you don't need to hand feed someone some capital. Now, you can do some things where you could help educate people. You know, you can help teach people how to become a better partner in a relationship. You know, with the music that we have now, it teaches kids how to treat women really bad, or how to just have a baby and go on to the next woman and have another baby, or the woman not being able to express herself to her man. These are issues that can fix a lot of things. We keep forgetting what the objective is. The objective is for us to, you know, have family dinners, you know, enjoy each other, be educated. Right? This is the core of the issues, and I think that's what we need to stick with. I mean, yeah, it would be great to have a couple extra dollars in your pocket, but it would be better if we could just start having inclusion. Because if we start only doing the Black initiative, then when it's time to start to have a new company with diversity, nobody don't even know how to work with each other. You start at an early age, you know, and I think that's what's really important.
Meadow, what's been disappointing for me with the Drew Brees comments is that LeBron and Chris Paul, as JD said, when they step up and they say something about, you know, Trayvon Martin or one of the countless young Black men that have been murdered in the streets in America, the reaction is shut up and dribble. And Drew Brees steps up and says something really ignorant, and the reaction is, oh, well, he has an opinion and he's allowed to have an opinion. And like I'm so disappointed in that double standard, because I think that athletes really put a lot on the line and risk a lot when they make statements like this, especially Black athletes. Like, I'm just curious if you can take me like just inside that world of the athlete making a political statement like this, making a statement that could risk their standing with their team and their teammates and in the league, and just what it is like to put yourself out there.
When I first came into the league, everybody knew I was kind of reckless and very ghetto, and you know, and that was before I signed contracts, you know, and you know, I feel like I felt personally I didn't care if they was like, hey, this guy's too ghetto or whatever. I just was trying to, you know, make a message, and I think what she said about Drew Brees in terms of he has a right for his opinion. Yeah, that's the right answer. The double standard doesn't really matter to me as much, because look who it came from. You know, a lady who is biased. You know, a lady. Let's not even talk about a white lady or a Black lady, because currently, right now, there's a Black lady in office that the city of L.A. don't like. This is, you know, we got to start talking about the person, the individual, rather than the race, right? So it came from a biased person's point of view. And I think with the support of like people like yourself, what you're saying has just as much weight as what she says. So we need to focus on what you're saying or what somebody else is saying. We don't have to give her that much power. The lady from Fox, she was the one that everybody's referring to. You know, it's what the people are saying, and the people give us the courage not to be fearless. Because you, yeah, when you first came in, you would fear if you say something that you're going to lose endorsement, you're going to lose the support of the people. You know, you might not sign extra contracts. Look at Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Craig Hodges. You know, these are people that don't get no credit. They were on the lines way before myself or LeBron, and you know, whoever else. And they need to get more credit. You know, but yeah, it's true. Athletes are putting themselves out there. You know, one thing we don't want to do is we want people to work with us and to enjoy our sneakers and to come to our events. And we want that. But if people don't really understand you, you can lose the support. So we do risk losing support from people we actually want engagement with, that we actually want interaction with. And it doesn't matter the skin color. You know, but when stuff like this arrives, you get an uprise, and then now all sorts of ages and genders from India, they're like, oh, I can't believe these people are fighting and protesting, because they don't really understand, you know. And you can't really fault them for that, you know. Like I said, you can't fault people for that.
I think that meaningful conversations are happening in private, and I don't think that they've been happening nearly enough for long enough. And so I am at least encouraged to see the demonstrations. I am encouraged to hear what people are saying, how many people do want to listen, and I hope that this momentum really does end up actually meaning something, and that we do see continued progress. Meta, thanks so much for making time for us today. We definitely appreciate it, man. Stay safe.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I just want to say, definitely, we're doing some great stuff. So if you can go to arttestuniversity.com, you know, we're trying to just get behind initiatives. We don't really have a mission at this point. It's changing because of the circumstance. So definitely support our, you know, our 501c3. And, you know, everybody stay safe out there.